You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Mark and chapter number 12, and then Luke chapter 21. And so just remember the second, third gospel, and the first one there, Mark chapter 12, and the second one, Luke chapter 21. It's good to see Brother McCurry here, and we thank the Lord for you. And we welcome home our senior class, and Brother and Mrs. Finero, we appreciate them, and what a joy they are in the school there. We thank the Lord for them taking our kids away and bringing them back safely to us, amen? And that's a blessing. My wife and I, we were watching the news the other day, and I was just catching up on this Doge, trying to figure out what's going on. And I said, honey, have you heard about this? She says, they've got nothing on me. And then about a few minutes later, because I couldn't figure out why she said that, I got an email from my wife, and she said, honey, I want you to list five things you did around the house last week to help me. And she says, you have by midnight to respond. So pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm going to make it. But anyhow, maybe she'll give me an extension on that. But anyhow, it's good to be home, and I missed everybody this weekend desperately, our class, and of course the choir and the church family, and my brother-in-law asked me to preach for him three times last year, and I did not go, and my sister, of course, has been praying for her. She has cancer, and I appreciate many of you that are praying for her, and we're seeing some positive things, but we still need to fervently pray for her, and so I was able to get up there. He asked me this year to preach for him on anniversary Sundays. There's no way in the world I'm going then. And so this was the fifth time he asked, and I thought, my children aren't going to love me anymore, my family, my sisters. I've got a couple sisters up there. And so anyhow, we were up there for their big offering, just like we had a few weeks ago. And the Lord blessed that, and we're excited to see. It's a blessing to see your children reaching people with the gospel message, and that was a great blessing. But what a thrill it is always to be home, and I sure love our church family. We're in Luke chapter number 21, and we're in Mark chapter 12, and let's look at two passages of Scripture, and I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Giving That Glorifies God. And I know that this Sunday we will be a month away from our I Love My Church Sunday and our bucket offering, and of course we have our anniversary offering coming as well, but I have the privilege to have an office that's right above where the construction's taking place, and so it's funny. I should start charging a fee for people who want to come watch the construction. It's really remarkable. But it's been great to see them going to town. And then I see Brother Sly, and I can see sweat coming down his forehead, you know, on the side of his face as he's worried about paying the bills and getting this taken care of. And the Lord led me to this passage. I've been thinking a lot about it. I want you to look at it with me this evening. Mark chapter 12, look with me, please, at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all which have cast in of the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want or lack did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And then let's look together at Luke 21. We'll stay in Luke's gospel for the remainder. We might look at one other passage, but we'll stay here in Luke 21. And I want you to pick up the story with me, if you will, in verse number 1. The same story, Luke telling the same story. We gather a few things from this, very similar. He says in verse 1, and he looked up, speaking of Jesus, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites, and he said, Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all, for all these of their abundance cast in to the offerings of God, but she of her penury, or lack, or want, or poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we sure love you. I thank you for the wonderful people of North Valley Baptist Church. And God, I pray that tonight would be an encouragement to our hearts as we look at this example of giving And I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts tonight. Help us to do our part, giving ourselves first and foremost, but then, Lord, all that you've given to us, help us to be good stewards and faithful stewards of what you've given to us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many offerings recorded in the scriptures. Of course, in the Old Testament, we have the free will offerings and the first fruit offerings that are given for the upkeep of the tabernacle and the temple. And I think about that often because of the properties and facilities that God has given to us and the enormity of the job and task at hand, just staying on top of maintenance with these wonderful facilities that God's given us. But even without taking time to look at the required offerings to build the tabernacle and the temple, I'll read you a verse from Exodus as we think about the tabernacle, 35 verse 5. He said, "Take from ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering unto the Lord, gold, silver, and brass." And as we come to the New Testament, we see the church continue with these special offerings. The Holy Spirit of God is poured out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And the first thing that takes place after the church is empowered is a man stands up and declares the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Preaching is an evidence of the fullness of the Spirit, and the primacy of preaching is evident in every true biblical local New Testament church. And he preaches, and 3,000 souls are saved and baptized and added to the church. But you come to the end of chapter 2, and we already see people giving sacrificially to the church and to the work of God. So being filled with the Spirit is evidenced by a heart of giving as well. When we come to chapter 4, we see the people of God in the early church selling what they have to move forward the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we come to Acts chapter 5, and we see how Ananias and Sapphira stopped what was the progress that was taking place, and great fear came upon all the church. By the way, you can go back to the Old Testament and look at the children of Israel crossing the Jordan land, and they set up camp in Gilgal, and then they go take the city of Jericho, and God had told them, look, I'm going to give you buildings that you didn't build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build and orchards that you didn't build. All of these things are going to be yours, but the first fruits of Jericho belong to the treasury of the house of God. And we all know the story of a man named Achan, and he saw a Babylonian garment, he saw a wedge of silver and a gold, and he took it and hid it, very similar, if you will, and he stops the progress there as well. And time fails me to do justice on the subject of giving this evening. However, I believe that we're going to look at one of the greatest givers the Bible shows us, and I'm excited to learn from the heart and action of this sweet widow woman. Now, I was in Israel 18 years ago this past January, and I'm looking to see if Brother Funk is in the room. Is he out here somewhere? I was with Brother Gareth Funk, and we were there in Israel together, and that was back quite a few years ago, and we had to leave our tour guide to go through some armed guards to go into the city of Bethlehem. And we went into Bethlehem. There had just been an article written either, I think, in December the year prior, November, December the year prior, talking about Bethlehem and how they were nurturing terrorists. And so it was eerie going into Bethlehem at that time. And we got to this particular store. There were so many various artifacts and different things that I looked at that were interesting and wonderful, and was gleaning all that I could with that trip. But as I came to the front counter, I hadn't purchased anything. I looked under the counter and I saw these old coins, and I asked the man, I said, "What are these?" And he said, "Those are widow mites that date back to Jesus' day. And they were brass," and he said, "as you touch them, they turn green if you don't clean them right." And I asked how much they were, and I don't remember the price tag. It was too much. And I said, "Do you have anything that you would sell for less than that?" And he brought me all the way down the row to the ones that were the most corroded. And I had the money, spending about everything I had to purchase them because it meant so much to me. But here's a picture. The two on the top are probably 100 or 200 years old, and they don't look exactly like the others, but the ones below date back to Jesus' day. These could be the two mites that the widow threw into the treasury, and I'm going to claim that right there. And But they date back to Jesus' day, and if anybody knows how to clean this, I probably could Google it to get them looking better. But those are widow mites, and they mean the world to me because I spent all my living just to purchase them while I was there. And so But this story is significant because it demonstrates the importance of sacrificial giving. And Jesus praises this poor widow who gives these two mites all that she had as her offering. Despite her meager resources, Christ commended her giving because it was done by faith with a willing and a cheerful heart that was humble. This story touches us and it teaches us that our giving should not be judged by the amount we give, but by the amount of faith and love we express with hearts of gratitude and sincerity. This widow gave sacrificially out of a heart of great faith and devotion to her Lord and her Savior. She has set for us a high standard, and she's a wonderful example tonight for you and I to follow. I want you to notice with me as we consider these two passages of Scripture, first of all, that Jesus knew something that others did not know. How many of you are grateful that Jesus is omniscient? He knows all things. My wife and I had the privilege to stay with our oldest child, Josiah, who's married and been on staff now, and it is a weird thing to stay with your kids, let me tell you. It's a new experience. I remember riding with them in their car for the first time. Each of our children have cars now, but this is, you know, a first for us. And my wife said, honey, I'm cold, and I got up, and I said, let me turn the heater up, and he says, don't you touch that thermostat. I'm paying the bills around here. And I was like, okay, fine, you know. And I'm walking through the house, and I'm bumping my head everywhere because the lights are turned off everywhere. Can't find my way through the house. And finally, I complained out loud. You know, I was like, there's no lights on around here. I can't find anything. He's like, Dad, we're trying to save money for this special offering, and we got to keep the price down. But if you're somewhere you need a light, just find a wall and flip the switch on. And so the next morning, I had gone to get Starbucks for everybody, and I was out and in line before they opened right at 5 o'clock. My alarm went off. My alarm went off at 5 o'clock. I was already in the drive-thru at Starbucks. So I come back in about 5:20, and I'm trying not to wake anybody up and get all the Starbucks in there. I get to the kitchen. There's no lights on. I can't find anything. And I thought to myself, there's nobody out here. I just need to turn a switch on. He said, just find a switch. So I saw one. I flipped it on. It was the garbage disposal. And man, that was so loud. And I felt so bad about that because my wife was there, not because Josiah was there. I found myself shaving, and he's knocking at the door. Dad! And I'm like, can I have some privacy around here? He says, don't leave any whiskers in the sink. Lauren does not like whiskers left in the sink. So I opened the door, and I said, son, I've been married more years than you've been alive, and that's a good thing, by the way. And I said, I could make a long list of things that Lauren doesn't like that you don't know about yet, son. Jesus knew what others didn't know. I'll tell you what he knew. Giving is not about equal gifts. It's about equal sacrifice. And while I don't want to move into the arena of our tithes, obviously that belongs to God. 10% is right off the top, and that's just a given. That's not giving above and beyond. Tithes is what's commanded, and that's where our giving begins at 10%. Beyond that are these free will offerings that come up throughout the year that I have the privilege to give to. And I'll be very honest with you, for some of us who are more like the poor widow, I'm not complaining, don't misunderstand me, just getting our buckets filled is like, and then you want to talk about the beyond offering, right? You know, I don't know if any of you are that there. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, this almost feels like I'm preaching backwards because the offering was almost a month ago, and now we've got the anniversary offering on the way. But the reality is we ought to be always looking for opportunity, and every time that offering plate is passed, by the way, I didn't have any money to put in, and Brother Finera came by. He just looked at me and he said, and you're the one preaching tonight. And I got convicted there, so I got to look over my wife, make sure she gives something to the offering. But it's an opportunity to express our love. I'm such a hypocrite tonight. Isn't this terrible? Jesus knew what others didn't know. It's not about equal gifts. It's about equal sacrifice. But can I say that, secondly, Jesus felt what others did not feel. The Word of God does not tell us what Jesus felt, but it shows us. Jesus took note of this. And it impacted him so much that he pulled the disciples aside to begin to instruct them and teach them.
And two of the gospel writers record for us under inspiration of the Spirit about this poor widow woman. Now, if anybody should have been giving sacrificially, we know the wealthy could have been giving, but Jesus felt this compassion. The Bible tells us in Jude, verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And oftentimes, as you read about the life of Jesus, it'll say he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And empathy is feeling bad for somebody, feeling the pain of somebody, and sympathy is feeling badly for somebody, but compassion always compels us to do something. And so that leads me to the next thought, is that Jesus did what others would not do. He pulled the disciples aside and he said, listen, I want you to take note about what's going on at the treasury over here. I've been watching the offering over here, and I want you to know what I'm taking note of. And by the way, as I consider the bucket offering we've just had here, and I'm so impressed and grateful for a church that loves to take the opportunity to not only teach the children about giving to the work of God, but the new Christians who are here from the year prior that have an opportunity to get involved. We had a man that came last year for Easter, and it was his first time to church. And within a month or so, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And then a few weeks into that, I started meet with him weekly and would just give him one little topic that we would talk about, and would take some time training him on certain things. And he was growing in the Lord, and what a blessing it was to see him faithful and getting involved with our class offerings and such, like getting excited about the class offerings. And last year was my first time being an adult teacher for the bucket offering, and I was just praying for $2,000, and boy, we barely made $2,000. So this year, I'm looking at the bucket offering, and I'm saying, Lord, if you could let us get to $3,000. And we hit $3,200 the week before the bucket offering. And he came to me, and he said, Pastor Everson, we can hit $4,000. And oh, me of little faith. I said, oh, man, that would be so awesome, wouldn't it? Let's start praying that way. And I'm like, oh, Lord, please help us hit $4,000. And all week long, I prayed, Lord, we're going to have to come up with about $700 in one Sunday. We've never done that before. And Lord, I know you can do this. And we came to the class the next week, and many of you know this, I announced it that Sunday. We had a $1,700 offering. And God did exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But there was a brand new Christian in that class who was all inspired about getting other people involved and encouraging them to give as well. And what a joy it is to train others and teach others about this thing of giving. And so Jesus did what others didn't do. He taught them. You know, God doesn't need our money. He wants what it represents, and that is our heart. But I want you to notice with me that Jesus saw something that others didn't see. And as you look at the text in Luke chapter 21 and verse 2, it says, and he saw. Jesus was watching. This reminds me of 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 and verse number 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is watching us all the time? He's watching our giving. He's watching the condition of our heart, and he sees and he knows everything. And this can be very convicting, that God sees everything and that God knows everything. And that is very convicting. It's a convicting truth when we're not living right or we're not giving right. But can I tell you something tonight? It is a very comforting truth when we know that we're living right and we know that we're giving right. We can rest in his promises and know that he knows all things. John chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus declares, judge not according to the appearance. And that's what others were doing at this offering. He said, but judge righteous judgment. He sat back and he's watching. There was nobody taking note of this poor widow woman who walked up and cast in her two mites. Nobody was taking note of that. But no doubt there were those who were taking note of the big gifts that were coming in. And I'm simply saying that Jesus saw what others did not see. And I want to ask the question tonight, when you come to North Valley Baptist Church, what do you see? And as you live here in the greater Bay Area, what do you see? And I would submit to you that I see a city that needs a Savior, and I'm grateful for Let's Serve Santa Clara, because God has planted this church in the heart of the Silicon Valley, and God has a desire for us to reach the multitudes with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and to raise up young men and young ladies to go pastor churches up and down our state and across our nation, and for us to send missionaries around the globe. God is in the business of reaching the lost with the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I see a ministry that must advance for the cause of Christ. What do you see tonight? What do you see tonight? Out my office window, I've already mentioned this, I see a project that needs to get funded. And Pastor mentioned that we need, I think it's $2.8 billion, and I think we've got the first month that came in. And I practiced for the staff men's group yesterday, and I could tell that Brother Sly was feeling the pressure. He was not negative in any way, shape, or form. And I said, Brother Sly, you look like you have a few more gray hairs up there. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful at all. And he said, you tell those tractors just to dig a hole and bury me in it, you know? And so, but he's been on my heart quite often, and prayer for him and for our ministry and for our project. But this project needs to get funded. And we can't sit around waiting for the big gifts, because God knows how to bring those in when we're doing our part. And there is no amount of money that's too small to give. Maybe some of you are better scholars than me. I've tried to figure out how much these two mites are worth. I've read a lot of things. I've talked to a few different people that are in the know. Maybe Brother Oxendine would be somebody I should have bounced this off of. But I've heard it's a 64th of a penny. I've heard it's an eighth of a penny. It's a 16th of a penny. I don't know how much it is, but it is a fraction of a penny. This poor widow just drops in, and we're getting rid of our pennies. We're pulling them from circulation. Has that already happened, or is it going to happen soon? And Jesus took note of that. There is no gift too small that doesn't touch the heart of God when it's given with the right heart. I see a ministry that needs to finish this project so we can get a bus parking lot. God wants this church, and he wants us to give from a heart of the Lord and to give him our best. You notice the lady wasn't standing over there in the temple by the treasury saying, I wonder what this is going to go for. And there are some scholars that talk about different various, I don't know if they're buckets, but we'll call them buckets, right, to give to various things. But the bottom line is she gave from a willing heart by faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. This beautiful property that God has given to us and our Clyde property were created by God to be used by the wonderful people of North Valley Baptist Church to reach the multitudes and the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you have been bought with a price, and I've been bought with a price tonight, these buildings have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And our buildings will always have needs. So what did Jesus see? I would submit to you that he saw the rich, supportive of the offering, to be seen of men. And this reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Now, I want to balance this from Matthew 6 and back up to Matthew chapter 5. We have that well-known passage that says in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. Matthew 5:13. But then you come to Matthew chapter 6, and he says, look, when you do your alms, do not do your alms before men. So which way are we supposed to look at this passage? And the bottom line is, it has everything to do with the motive of our heart, and only God can see that. I'm grateful. I love the bucket offering. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not preaching against that, not one bit. Don't misunderstand me. This bucket offering, and pastors talked about this, It is done to inspire others to glorify our Father, because there are many other ministries that say, hey, if North Valley Baptist Church can get all of their ministries involved in giving to the work of God, we can do the same thing. I'm just simply saying that as we give, we ought to be giving from a heart of gratitude and love and faith in our Savior and saying, Lord, I'm not doing this for a show. I'm doing this because I love you. We all know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. What did Jesus see? He saw the rich, supportive of the offering to be seen of men, but he sees the widow sacrifice in a way that others would not sacrifice. She certainly let her light shine before men. She didn't do it to be seen of men, but her light was shining before men. It was public. The offering was public. Just like Brother Fanera coming by here. I don't know why I didn't think the offering's going to come by, and I don't have any money. I'm going to come to the altar tonight during the invitation, just so you know. She gave sacrificially. She gave by faith. She gave with a humble and a grateful heart. And then the disciples studied what God wants you and I to study. He pulls the disciples apart, aside to himself. And he says, I want to teach you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. He says, I want to teach you some things. Verse 1 of Luke 21. And he looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Verse 4. And he tells the disciples, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. Jesus took note that they were giving in such a way that they would not even miss it. And they didn't even feel it. I guarantee you this, if Elon Musk gave our ministry $1 million, he would never even feel it. He'd know it's there because he's really good with his accounting, evidently. I thought that was funny, but maybe you don't. But he wouldn't feel it and he wouldn't miss it. And then Jesus watched as this widow woman threw in all that she had. And God is also teaching us not only that giving much can amount to little eternal rewards if it's done for the wrong reason, without love, humility, and sacrifice and faith, but he's also teaching us that giving a little can amount to great, powerful, eternal rewards when it's done for the right reason, with a heart of love, gratitude, and faith in the Lord. She gave because she loved God. It reminds me of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. She gave because she expressed faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And she gave her best, and she gave her all. Look back with me at Luke 21, please, verse number 2. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, and I love these three words, of a truth. Can I stop here and ponder? I want you to ponder this for a minute. Study this in 2 and 3 John. He said, whom I love in the truth. And I'll tell you, there are men of God that I love in the truth. Pastor Gravely comes and preaches for us. There is so much truth that pours out of him. I love him in the truth. We need to be lovers of the truth. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Verse 4, the end says, but she of her penury, of her lack, of her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. This is a warning to us to be careful not to judge others wrongly as well. God is watching, and he watched what this poor widow woman gave, and it was all that she had. About 15 years ago, my wife and I were upgrading our appliances. We've been in the ministry about 10 years. We had a lot of people over. We hosted a lot of people. Our children were getting bigger, and our appliances were on the, on their last leg. And so we found a company in Sacramento that sold nice appliances in good shape, and they reduced the prices drastically because a lot of them had a dent in them. And so if you go through the warehouse, you could find some that the dent wasn't not on the face of the appliance. It was maybe on the side and or the back of it. And so we're walking through and we found this refrigerator and she really liked it. The problem was they had it in white and stainless steel. And the stainless steel was like $100, maybe $150 more. And I looked at that and I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I didn't want to spend that extra $150. It was really bothering me, you know. And I looked at my wife, I said, honey, what do you want to do? And she leaned over and she gave me a kiss right on my cheek. And she said, you make the decision, you know what I like. And she turned around and walked away. I looked at the salesman, I said, I'll take the stainless steel refrigerator and give me the stainless steel washer, give me the stainless steel dishwasher as well to go with it, you know. You know, there's something about touching the heart of God. And tonight, if we're not careful, our giving can become cold and routine when it is an important part of our worship to our Heavenly Father. We see her grief as a widow. We see her heart as she's in the temple, and we see her gift is sacrificial, and yet we see her glory. She made it to God's Hall of Fame. Jesus saw what she did. Jesus saw what she gave. Jesus saw her offering to the Lord, and he appreciated her heart, her sacrifice, and her faith. Tonight, let's not be casual with our giving.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.